John chapter 15. I don't really like to do a lot of stuff ahead, you know. I don't like to get it because then you get emotional, and that was my serious part. You know, I was thinking about some things a little bit, you know, when we first got here, we were praying that Brother Paul would live. Remember that? That was, you know, some of the things that you think. I was thinking about that song and, you know, some of the prayers that we've seen, you know, different things that we've seen God do, and it's exciting. I don't know why, you know, some of the things, I don't know why that struck me, and some of the different things. God is doing a work in us, and he wants to do something in us and through us and use us, and he will. If we will, we're going to look at tonight if we'll abide in him. John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus said there, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Let's pray as we get started this evening. Father, we are thankful tonight for your goodness to us. Lord, we don't have the time, maybe not even the breath and the mind, the memory to thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we consider you tonight and these things that you set before us, Lord, that our life might be wrapped up in you and you and us. And Lord, I pray that you bless our time tonight. Lord, we'll give you thanks for it and we'll praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that we find, number one, the fruit of the branches. So we find here, he says, in verse number two, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and he maketh and bringeth forth more fruit. So Jesus Christ, in this portion of this message, made these roles clear to us, the roles that God had appointed for us. And for him, Jesus Christ, though he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, is the vine. In this illustration, in this picture that he's given to us, he is the vine, and the vine is the core of all that is. We talk about a vine, and we think the root of the tree, right? We think of it in that way. It's the root. It's the root that all must go through. All nutrition. All everything that's going to go up into the tree and through that has to go through the vine, in this sense, what we're talking about here. And it's the Father's role is to be the husbandman. The husbandman is the one doing the work on the branches. It's the Father that does the work on us, right? He's the one that does the work, and he's the one that's doing all those things. Then those that who have put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, we are the branches. It's not every human. We're not talking about the family, or you know, we could get kind of caught up in this whole thing of we're all God's creation, and that's true. We're all God's creation. That doesn't mean we're all attached to the vine. Doesn't mean just because we know about God, or even that we go to church, that we're attached to the vine. He kind of deals with some of these things. But the branches, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in the finished work of Christ, the branches are where the fruit is produced. That's where it's at. That's the actual purpose of the branch, is to produce fruit. That's really all that the branch is for. You know, it's not out there. Certainly, it gives shade and does some other things. And we mentioned in the Sunday school this morning, we're talking about sowing seed and it growing up and the fruit of the seed and the yield and so forth. And sometimes the leaves are there for some other things, but the branch's purpose is to provide fruit. You know, there's a there's that pear tree that doesn't produce pears. What fun is that? I don't know what they, somebody said there's a pear tree. I'm like, when's it going to start giving pears? And they said, never. It's ornamental. I mean, you want to be an ornamental Christian? The answer a lot of times is yes. I like to just look pretty. Oh, we all can't do that. Okay. There's your humor, all right? So, since fruit is the very purpose of our lives, we might conclude that the Father, who is the husbandman, would be pretty active in the work of husbanding. I don't know if that's a word, I just made up, in our lives. Listen, if the very purpose of the branch is to produce fruit, and he's the husbandman, that would really give us the idea that God's doing a lot of work in our life, right? He's doing a lot of things, and he's pretty busy about that. If that's the whole purpose of this existence, kind of gives us an idea that the Father is pretty busy in this work, and that's his role. The husband would be, in this illustration, and the husbandman would be about the work of looking over and observing and determining how to best care for the branches. Again, verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. I'm saying, listen, the Father then, he has his eyes on our lives, right? He's looking through the branches, right? He's interested in us. It's really, sometimes it's a bit surreal when you think about the God of all creation is checking out your life, right? I mean, interested in your life. And can I just say it this way? He's involved in your life. God didn't just set this thing in motion and stay back and just kind of let it go, right? Could you imagine? I mean, look how we're trying to spin this thing out of control on our own now. I mean, imagine if God hadn't been, you know, we'd take care of it pretty quick. You know, it only took the first man and first woman to mess it up, right? I mean, listen, we're talking about here. God is interested in each one of our lives, and he's going and he's looking, and the Father has his eyes on us. And listen, can I just say this tonight? God, the Father, not anyone else, has the role of determining if you and I are where we should be in our lives. And he's looking for two conditions here, it tells us. We read that a couple times there. He's looking for two conditions. Those not bearing fruit and those bearing fruit. So both conditions need the work of the husbandman. Whether we're bearing fruit or whether we're not bearing fruit. So the one bearing fruit isn't finished because he's already produced fruit. Right? I mean, listen, you know, you ask somebody about, you know, hey, so what, you know, what are you doing? And you know, what are you doing for Jesus? Or what's going on in your life? And they tell you about a story from history. You know what I mean? I used to did, right? And you know, there's a lot of times we can give some great stories about things that happened in the past. And man, thankful for that, really. Thankful for that there was been some fruit in our life and some things. And then, you know, I've heard of some folks. And I guess I just imagine if you're still a branch, still have the same purpose, and that is producing fruit, right? Still have the same purpose. And so, well, you know, it's an old branch. Well, I mean, aren't you glad we don't cut off old branches? Amen. 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 So listen, and God doesn't either. And so listen, if we're still a branch, we still have that same role, that same purpose. And there's, listen, the fruit-bearing branch is in a wonderful place, though. I'm just going to say that tonight. They're firmly attached to the vine. I mean, if there's some fruit there, we can see they're attached to the vine. And they, listen, they only have, they need only to have pieces, purged. My wife has, we have a small jungle at our house. We're going to move. We're taking them with us. It's going to be the whole back end of my truck. It's plants. And so we have these plants, and you see them sometimes. She figured it out. I don't know. Sometimes they're looking like, I'm ready to throw it in the trash. It's just decorating plants, whatever. And it'll go, and you give it something, you do something with it, you chop something off, and somehow the thing like wakes up. You know what I mean? It'll just, you cut, I don't know what you do. I don't really know. I don't want to know because I don't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? We're just following the illustration the Lord gave us. When you deal with that, you're purging it and you're clipping some things. Sometimes you're taking off a leaf or something or whatever. And when you've done that, the thing perks up, right? Comes back to life, really. Sometimes you just turn it to face the sun a different way, and it just, and it begins to do so. Listen, I'm telling you, when we are already a branch that's producing fruit, we're connected. Doesn't mean that we're done. It just means, we're connected. We're in a wonderful place. Listen, even the strongest, most faithful, and devout believers, there's still a pruning work to be done, cleaning up the places that have died off. Listen, we're not done. Never done. We're never done. Aren't you glad God doesn't say, okay, they're set, let me just worry about the others? No, God's still working our life because... listen, there's, I don't know, there's more fruit, better fruit. I don't know what it is God's exactly wanting to do in your life, but He wants to do something. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thing. And being connected to the Lord it's amazing. A lot of things when you've been saved for a little while, you kind of take for granted what God does as if that's just what God does. And it is what God does. And sometimes we forget this is actually pretty amazing. That God the Father of all, there's one, not the fathers. One God the Father is checking in on me. Now I know He's doing a little work on me. I mean, it's not always pleasant, you know what I'm saying? But listen, the children, you see our own children, that if they're going to come up and be something that doesn't embarrass us, it's going to take some work, right? And some of that work is, the bluing of the wound. You know what I'm saying? Some of that work is painful. And so we find some of this. God sometimes, it's not always painful, but sometimes we just don't get our way in different things. Listen, but then there's this other side. The one that is not bearing fruit, it's quite different. Verse 2, it says, "And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." Now, there's, you read some different commentaries, different people say different things. So what it means, He takes them away, He lifts them up. And I don't want to make too much fun of it, but there's a place that lifts them up and kind of airs them out, and so they can, but I don't believe the idea here is one of encouragement or coaxing. This is a branch that has, can I see this here? It says He's been in me, meaning in the opportunity, in the hearing of the gospel, but this branch is dead. It has not been connected to the vine, which is Christ. And the eternal result of this branch is destruction. Let's read down here with me. Follow along in verse 3. It says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Can I just say this to you this evening? Is this? There's no plan B. There's no plan B in this world. We're either in Christ or we're separated from Him. There's no. I was near to church, right? My mama and my daddy, they went to church, so you know, and they, you know, they were good folks. So I'm probably. Can I just say here, the Lord go is the Father is as the husbandman is looking, and He's going, and He's going over these branches, and He's looking to see, is there fruit in your life? By the way, fruit is. He doesn't get too much into exactly what the fruit is. Specifically. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but if there's not something in your life, if anybody has, has anybody ever come up and say, you're a Christian? Something went wrong. Can I just say that? Something went wrong in how you, you know, I'm telling you, if somebody came up and said, I never knew you were a Christian, I don't think there's anything worse you could say to a believer. You know what I mean? That would be, and you're like, glad you didn't know I was trying to, you know, trying to be an undercover Christian. You know, I didn't want anybody, you know, trying to sneak in and spy for Jesus. You know, we found out what happened with them spies, you know, this morning. Listen, I just want to say right here, folks, if I can remember when the first time I heard the gospel, and the preacher was preaching through it, and he said something that really just caught, you know, through, and finally was at the end. He said, listen, if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, I mean, like, if there's never been a time when you could say, listen, this is when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say it. There's a process through this. He says there's a moment that we're born again, right? And he said, he talks about he turned from death unto life, right? Turn from idols unto the living and true God. There's a place that talks about repent and believe, right? There's a moment that happens. And I'd say this, listen, if we would say, listen, I kind of feel like I'm a branch because I like Jesus. You know what I mean? Because I like Jesus, and I've always believed in Jesus and God and that stuff. If you'd say anything like that, I'm just saying right here. He said, listen, if we don't know, if you don't know, if you sit here tonight and say, you know, I don't know if there's ever been a point in my life that I can look back to and say, you know, that's when I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I don't mean like, yeah, I believe that. Like, no, like, I'm going to make that change and that's going to become my life. If there's never been that point, then you're in danger of being that branch that's going to burn. And I don't know any way of understanding this scripture that sounds like a good thing. There's a lot of things going on here, but I'll just say this. There's no way I find being burned up being something that I want to be a part of. And so listen, here's the good news about that. We can trust Christ. I mean, like, make a decision to say, you know what? I don't know, but I want to make sure that I know. And that's, we could do that at any moment. Look here, the second thing, the fruitful branches. In verse 3, he said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the purging that verse 2 talked about is done through the word of the Lord. You see? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. This is Jesus Christ. I want to be real clear about something here at this point. There's only one husbandman. I said that already, but I want us to be, there's only one husbandman, and it is the Father. He is the one that does the taking away, right? He's the one that does that work. He did not give that role to you or I, right? Or to you or me. It is not even Christ's to do. He said, there's a role. He said, therefore, let us not think we need to do this thing ourselves. This excommunication or cutting away of those without fruit. It's not our job. Listen, how many of us would have had a time, a point in our life that others would have thought us to be unfruitful? You know what I mean? A point, maybe some point, folks look over us and say, yeah, I don't think they're a branch. Let's remove them. You know, let's excommunicate them because they said something weird. We'd be empty house tonight. You know what I mean? And so we find this kind of situation. And so then the cleansing, the washing, the pruning, the care of the fruitful branches is done by the Word. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. You know, if I was going to get a toolbox, I'd want to get more than just a screwdriver, right? Or just a set of screwdrivers, because nowadays everything wants these Allen wrenches, which is so annoying. You know what I mean? A different size. We've been taking stuff apart. It's like, can't we just get one size, you know? And no, you know, we have a lot of, because there's a lot of different things goes on. Like, same thing in our life. There's a lot of different situations in our life. And you say, well, you think the Bible speaks to every issue that will ever come up in life? I actually do. I actually do. Maybe not specific, like, you know, thou shalt not whatever this thing. But I'm telling you, there's some principles there that's going to cover. I mean, I don't mean just like a big wet blanket. I mean, it's going to kind of zone in on a lot of things. And I do believe that, by the way. For one, I believe that because I've experienced that in my own life. And, you know, something's going on and you come by and you read something, you're like, oh, that's what, there is an answer for that. And then really, but that's kind of secondary. Actually, I think the first reason I think is what he says here in verse 3. He says, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. If there's one thing that's destructive to a fruitful branch, is the attempt to prune it through our own thinking, our own methods. I mean, I've seen many a fruitful branch that's, I mean, it's trying, you know, just try, living for Jesus, you know, and we want to kind of. So I've seen it at times where we kind of we can use a measuring stick, we can use tradition as a measuring stick, or what others have done and what I think is good, what would be acceptable or righteous in this circle or that one, and so forth. I've seen fruitful believers shoved in some kind of sheath, right, with a label that says good Christian on it, you know, and put into that thing and restricted their growth, almost paralyzed by their restrictions. Restrictions not that the Word of God put on them, but by man's thinking. There's this. This is the cleaner. So that's what he said there. Listen, there is, can I listen tonight? There is a narrow way, right? Listen, well, we should just do whatever. There's a ditch on both sides of that road. You understand? There is a narrow way, and there's a narrow gate that we must go through. But there is. Jesus said that also, right? Let's see. There is. There's a narrow way. It's not, well, we should just kind of just open our arms and just be, listen, no, God said there's a narrow way, right? There's a narrow gate and there's also a wide one. It's a wide one for all those burn branches, you know? He said there's a narrow way, but can I just say this to you tonight? It is 100% based on this book, 100%. If it's in there, that's what God is going to do the cleansing of us with. We cannot do this fruitful work on our own ability. Verse 4, it says, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The power to produce fruit, be alive in Christ, is not found within the branch itself. You see, folks, it's not about having a good heart, right? not about having a good heart. Some of the sweetest, most wonderful people I know, nicest people I know, are detached from the vine. And one day, they're going to burn, be separated from God forever. Wasn't because they were a horrible, wicked person. It's just because they were not attached to the vine, which is Christ. Some sweetest people, but they still rejected God's plan. Listen, in us, it's not there. In us isn't the place where we're going to find it deep down, you know, the hero within or any of this kind of, it's not there. Listen, it's not of our own ability. The power to produce fruit comes from the root, comes from the vine. Listen, there was a missionary in Africa several decades ago, lived in a small hut which was electrically supplied by a quiet small generator. The little gas-powered wonder supplied current for both his home and the primitive church building beside it. Late one afternoon, two African men from another much more remote village visited the pastor and this missionary in his hut and were amazed when night fell and he simply switched the room lights on. They were wide-eyed at the electric light bulb hanging from the ceiling of his living space. One of the visitors asked the pastor if he could have one of those light bulbs. Thinking perhaps he wanted it for a sort of trinket, the pastor obliged and gave it to him. Months passed, and on his next visit to the remote village of that same man, the pastor stopped at the hut of the man who had previously asked for the light bulb. Imagine his surprise when he saw the bulb hanging from an ordinary string in his tent, his hut there. The man understood the general idea of connection, but he didn't understand empowering. Lots of believers are like that today. We find in this verse a law, not a suggestion, not a better way, but a law. Look at verse 4 again. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." Listen, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It can't. No matter how bad, no matter how hard you try. You ever just tried harder to you know, we kind of get our mind wrapped around this turn over a new leaf kind of mentality. I just need to be better at it. And you try harder and it goes worse. You know, it's as if we're trying to accomplish something and we're going to get harder and work harder at this thing and we're missing, we're just trying to get something to flow through the string. I ain't never seen a string power a light bulb. Pastor Mario, you ever seen that work? No. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's going to find a way to make it work now. Anyway, listen. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and neither can you or I. But what we realize here is that when we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. Look at verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Listen, so yes, without him, we cannot bear fruit, yet when we abide in him, we do. This is a law. This isn't a you might. That is what happens. When we abide in him, we do bear this fruit. This isn't an option, you see. The believer that abides in Christ will bear fruit, and really much fruit at that. This here that Jesus was given this illustration, this portion of this message that he was given, this thought here, it's not a message about bearing fruit. It's not the how to grow more fruit. It's really not what it is. It's this passage is not giving instructions or commands on how to bear fruit. The fruit is the natural law of the vine. It's going to happen. This message is about his point three is this, abiding in Christ. Verse 4, he said, abide in me. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. In verse 4, we find here this command. He says this in this way, abide in me, it's an imperative. He says, abide in me. Do this, if that's the command. The command isn't here isn't produce fruit. It isn't. We want to just, some fruit pops out. You know, it's not how it works. You know, I had to do that at some point. It doesn't work like that. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to pray real hard about that. I don't know what that means. Pray real hard. Like, does it mean long? Does it mean serious? Does it mean crying? Does it mean quiet? I don't know. You know, praying real hard, I always kind of just think this, oh, please, God. I don't know what hard, you know, it's sometimes we're trying to produce something by trying to be better at what we've not been good at. Isn't that weird? That's weird thinking, isn't it? We're going to try to be, but he says this, abide, abide in me. This word abide simply means to stay. It means to remain, to reside. This place where we're to remain at or to reside in can be very arbitrary though, you know. You know, I'm going to stay with this, or I'm going to stay with that, I'm going to stay with, listen. But the Lord has already made it clear where this abiding is to be found in verse 3. Now you are clean through the word. We're not to abide or remain in a tradition. But by the way, let me just say here, just as a, all tradition isn't bad, okay? Some tradition we do, traditionally, you know, we have turkey on Thanksgiving. That's not bad, especially if there's stuffing in it. You know what I mean? There's some things we didn't, listen, all tradition, so a lot of times tradition gets a bad rap because Jesus talked about it. But there's also a place that he talks about it being a positive thing. But what I'm saying is when we make tradition more important than the word, that's what he, listen, what I'm talking about there. He said, so we don't remain in that or in a philosophy or in some sort of man or system worship. That will not bear fruit. It only bears resemblance of the system you abide in. You know, a preacher friend of mine many years ago, he said, you know, all these kids are going wearing their pants down. Remember, there's this thing. I mean, now they're still doing it, but they were wearing their pants down. They would kind of, you know, in their belt. I don't know. I don't know if they used belts or they needed belts, but they would go and. And he said, I talked to a guy. He said, well, you know, why are you wearing your pants? He said, I just don't want to be like everybody else. You know, he kind of just bounced along as, you know, now their whole underwear is out and everything. But he said, the kid said, I just don't want to be like everybody else. I'm going to do my own thing. He said, okay. And then you watch him. He was going, getting on the school bus. And then you see another kid coming by. The same. And they all look the same. Right? I don't want to be like all them. I'm going to follow a different group and do a different thing. So what you end up doing is we end up resembling something else, some other system. It's not going to bear fruit. Listen, holding to something because someone else holds to it is not the imperative command that the Lord gave here. What we are to abide in, where we are to reside or remain in, is the Word. Which, by the way, doesn't mean that we just read through our schedule. It's not simply to read so we can check the box. Hey, listen, nothing wrong with that if it's not just that. You see, it is not to simply abide in our daily Bible reading. It's to abide in the word which I have spoken to you. It is to follow Christ. It's to let the Word of God do something to it. It ought to change us. If it doesn't change us, we're not abiding in it. We're hearing it. You see, we're maybe even reading it. I've read a lot of things, and somebody said, what did you just read? I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? We'll walk out of here in 5 minutes. Somebody said, what was the message about tonight? You're like, oh, it was good. I was laughing. Just remind me. I mean, this is where our, you know, I'm just saying, sometimes we're like that. So I'm saying here, abiding isn't just to read something. I was there at church, so that counts for something, doesn't it? Does it? Could somebody come to church, like week after week, service after service, and still be one of those branches that gets... So just being there, I like to say, folks, you know, so I say, how you doing? I'm here. People say that. I really don't. It's always a weird thing to me. I'm here. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that tonight. But yeah, my thought is always, well, that's a good start. Right? Reading your list is a great start. But that's not really the whole abiding thing. It's it is to let the words of Christ be our life. Our life. It is to seek our pattern, our decisions, our direction from the Word of God. Listen, abiding in Christ, who is the Word, is the command, the instruction, the whole point of this passage. So, here's the conclusion. My last time, so it's going to take a while. So, the conclusion. So, let me ask this question to you. What is your light bulb connected to? Is it simply a string that's not connected to anything? You know, if we went back on the trail of your Christian life, would it be connected to Christ or to be just connected to nothing? You ever try to plug something? It's like, it's not working. It's not where this thing is broken. You kick it or something. You're like, it's not broken. And then you go look like, oh, I forgot to plug it in. I mean, I've done that. You just, and then you're like, did anybody see that? You know what I mean? It's just. I've always thought about this. What a waste of a life to spend years and years and decades in church. Being a branch that has maybe some leaves, but never connected to Christ, and one day. So what's it connect? Imagine thinking that just because you have a light bulb, that'll produce something in your life. Many people are just like that fellow in that remote village. He had no idea that the light bulb hanging in his hut was pointless. Maybe one day it'll light up like the missionaries. So you ever just kind of hope your life would be amazing like another Christian's life? Man, I wish my life would be as great. They seem to like really enjoy church. I have to endure it. One day maybe mine will light up. You see what I'm saying? I can't remember when I first got saved, these people would talk with me, they'd share the stories of what God did in their life. I thought, man, that's awesome. It's great God did that. And I was a new believer. I'm thinking, this is amazing. And it wasn't too long, I thought, well, what about me? I'd like this, God to bless me in that way. Listen, what I realized, it takes more than just showing up church, right? To him, that fellow in the hut there, having a bulb was enough for him, but it was fruitless. When our life is connected to Christ through the following of his word, we will be fruitful. You will be. Sure, all trees don't produce the same fruit, okay? They don't. We'll not all look alike nor have the same form of fruit. I mean, some of us, you know, some of you probably are going to have like these big, juicy watermelon kind of fruit, you know. I don't really like watermelon. And so some are going to be like mangoes. I love mangoes. My wife doesn't like mangoes. You know, we're going to look a little, our fruit's going to look a little different, right? It's going to look different. That's okay. Wow, isn't that amazing? God uses us, puts together, and we kind of do all this different. That's okay. It's a wonderful thing. We aren't trying to resemble a system. All right, here's what we do. We do this, and we all look like this. No, it's a little different. We're trying to resemble Xavier. If your life doesn't look as much like the Savior as you think it should, it's not about trying harder. It's about returning to the place of abiding. It's about being cleansed through the Word. The Father, by the way, the Father is the fruit inspector in this illustration. He is pruning, he's trimming, he's clipping, he's cutting at the branches. It's uncomfortable, but it's wonderful. I mean, I don't think, you know, plants aren't alive and they don't talk or have thought, but if they did for a moment, and one plant's over there thinking, why doesn't the husband ever clean me up? You know what I'm saying? Well, he'd be like, why I'm all droopy. Why can't I get some water over here? You know what I'm saying? Why, you know, and the other one's like, man, I'm growing, I'm exciting. Listen, here's the thing. God, it is a little bit painful sometimes, but wow, what he does in our life. What he does in our life, it's not, listen, we have some miracle grow, right? Some miracle grow, right? Don't you like miracle grow? I guess if you know, I've seen it on the shelves. We have, I don't know. But Christian Miracle-Gro. But the thing is with this Miracle-Gro, it's a little different. We don't just, listen, it's not just to read it or hear it, though. It's more than that. But to let it be what we're following. So I like this imagery that we have. I'm about done here. I'm about to wrap it up, really, this time. I like the imagery of fruit. A fruitful life is sweet. It's sweet. I don't know what kind of word, an aura. It has some kind of something about a fruitful life that there's just kind of a happiness. Peace. You know, like eating a good crispy apple. You know the one you bite it and it makes a noise? You know what I mean? Or the other one you bite and it's a little smushy and you're like, no, I don't want that one. I like the sweet. You know what I'm saying? This fruit, this image of the fruit, it's sweet. The life is sweet. I don't think I've ever seen a believer that really abides in this word. It doesn't have a sweet spirit. It's full of nutrition. There's so many things there. Provides energy, right? I know it's got a lot of sugar in it, so some would not say it's healthy, right? There's some people around here would say fruit's not healthy, but it is because I've found out there's no added sugar, so it's good for anti-inflammatory. It's healthy. It's good for us. You know, there's not too many Christian societies that really are, I mean, let's pretend like we're about 15 years ago, so everything I'm saying, but typically a Christian society has a more healthy society. You know, you'll rarely see a third world country that has a Christian society there. It's healthy. Even I'm talking about even aside from spiritually, I just mean physically and morally, it's healthy. And really, this a life abiding in Christ, it's good. It's wonderful. So maybe tonight, and really, here's. If your life isn't like that, like the fruit, you know, that we're talking about, all those attributes of a fruit and those things, then maybe what you need to do is get back to Him. Listen, I didn't say try harder. You need to do more fruits. I didn't say that. And what we need to do is abide in Christ. Get back to saying, you know what, I have took distance from following. And maybe you're here tonight and say, you know, I don't think my life is so bad. It's not so bad. In fact, it's pretty decent. I've been to a lot of funerals that people talk about, some pretty decent people. It's a wonderful thing. Here yesterday, Jordan giving a testimony about her grandpa and how he told her about making a decision to follow Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that? Listen, folks, I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you say, you know, I don't know if I've ever really attached to that thing, let today be that day. And if you have, you're like, you know, I think maybe I've lost a little of my sweetness. Abide in him.